Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord, we just as the Church of God assembled in the name of Jesus Christ, say to you that this is the time that if Ephesians 1 comes to mind, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ is needed, that you will open the eyes of our understanding that we may know what we ought to know. Because these things of God are overwhelming in their power, in what they say, and for us to even understand fully understand what is the power of the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Help us this morning to be with the Word, in the Word, live by the Word, accept it as the ultimate say-so concerning any situation we face, and to have the victory through our faith that comes through the Word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Good morning to everybody one more time. First session. And we want to go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11. And wow, what a week of hours and hours of reading. And I was studying medical doctor M.R. Dehaene's book on the chemistry of the blood. Christian, born-again, spirit-filled doctor. And then I went from there. I went, and his research on this, I went to two more books, and it became at one stage just too much to take in. And I realized that what we've got is like a long, even a half a year teaching seminar you could do just on the subject, in fact, more than that. So Hebrews 9:11 says these words, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Right there already is a problem that most people only see what you call sense knowledge. What you can see, what you can smell, what you can taste, what you can hear, what you can feel. It comes through the natural senses. So that's the avenue, the flow of intake comes through the senses. We call that sense knowledge. But revelation knowledge takes you out of the world of physics. And this is where I always endeavor as I look at the physics of non-physics. What goes on in this vastly superior domain that is unseen. By faith we know that the things which are made were made from those things which are not seen. So that we know, Hebrews 11 verse 3, so that we know that this unseen world is vastly superior to the world of physics, so to speak. Okay, so not of this creation, nor of the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption means to buy out at a price. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, atonement, how much more shall the blood of Christ, notice it refers straight to the deity of Christ. Jesus, his humanity. Christ, his deity. So Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Anointed One, referring to the Holy Spirit, and upon him, within him, through him, one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. How much more shall the blood of Christ, quite significant, which is the blood of God, offered himself, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Cleanse your conscience. Cleanse your conscience of dead works. Dead works. Dead works to serve the living God. You will read in the book of Revelation chapter number 20 how the wicked dead are judged according to their works, because Christ died on the cross and everyone's works, what you get up to, what you do, is judged by God. That's a whole story on its own, but we need to understand dead works is what we produce once we've been crucified with Christ. We produce dead works because we've been crucified. If you understand that when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him into baptism, into death. That just as Christ, Romans 6, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk. Romans chapter number 7 also, in the newness of the Holy Spirit. So a person who's been crucified with, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 6:14, for me there's no further need to boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross by which I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. And so where is boasting? How can we boast except to have faith, which makes faith crucial? Now, the important part is verse 14. First the animals, then 14 bulls and goats, and the ashes of Heifer. How much more shall the blood of Christ, blood of God, Christ is his deity. There's a thing called the hypostatic union, which means the unification of deity and humanity in one person, 100% God, 100% human being, 100% man. Offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience of dead works to serve the living God. In the old covenant, which is from the days of Abraham, we're still the seed of Abraham. God did not cancel his blessing of Abraham upon us and stopped it there. Jesus came, fulfilled the law. He says, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So how much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered himself without spot to God. Now, Dr. DeHaan writes about the blood and he calls it the divine blood. I'm not reading everything, just very briefly. Innocent blood, where they say these words in the Bible, Matthew 7:27-4. I have betrayed innocent blood. Innocent blood. Divine blood, sinless blood. Incorruptible blood. David said, you will not allow your Holy One in Acts chapter number 2 to see corruption. You've been washed by the blood of Christ the moment you ask and you surrender to him. His blood is precious blood. Innocent blood, incorruptible blood, divine blood. The three characteristics that Dr. DeHaan gives concerning the blood. Then he gets into that, and I don't want to go altogether there because it's really all very much. But cleanse your conscience. Now notice one thing. In the Old Testament, bulls, goats, ashes of Heifer, all of that could not cleanse the conscience of the guilty. We need to understand that they needed a covering. That word is the Hebrew word kafar, which means to cover over or atonement. I've given it upon the altar, Leviticus 17, 10 through 14, to make atonement for your souls, for your life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life is in the blood. You shall not consume or eat the flesh with its blood, for its blood, its life, its blood sustains its soul. So we know, as Dr. Dahan writes, we know that, and E.W. Kenyon writes also, that somehow the spirit, soul, and body is very much connected to the blood. Now, when God saw Adam and Eve after they'd been created by Him, it is clear that their color, He saw them by the color of their blood. He saw them by the color. That's why He's Adam. Adam means leader, who has dominion, rule over all the earth, and dam, blood. Dam is Hebrew for blood. So He calls Him according to the color of His blood. Just an amazing thing that happens right there. And so that's the one thing the entire human race has in common, which is the blood of Adam and Eve, and God sees us by our blood. Now, when sin came in, corruption came in, where did it come in? Now, these researchers, I take note, particularly if I look at this medical doctor's research, it hit the blood. Sin reaches everywhere. Man's soul became corrupted. Man's mind had to be renewed. Man came to a point where he was hopeless, helpless, and he was destined for hell. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, we know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul, in other words, it's the Hebrew word nefesh, of the flesh in the blood. So when He poured out His soul, Isaiah 53, for us, we know what's happening. He poured out His blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Then with that which remained in His system when He was raised from the dead, He presented Him to God the Father with His own blood, innocent blood, incorruptible blood. I mean, they said, we have betrayed innocent blood, or I have betrayed innocent blood. He comes and He presents blood that God cannot ignore, because it is the blood of Himself, the righteous one of all the ages, who is blessed forever. This covenant is so powerful. Now, you know, we know in just mentioning that again, that God said, I will visit the sins of the fathers unto the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. So the sins of the fathers unto the third, but He doesn't say the sins of the mothers. Over and over in the Old Testament, you read those words, I will visit the sins of the fathers. And therefore, there had to be atonement. That atonement couldn't take away the sin consciousness. But how much more shall the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ, the blood of God, the blood of Christ, cleanse your conscience? Because in the old covenant, with just a bringing of blood continuously through sacrificial animals to the altar, merely covered over, made a covering over Israel as prescribed by God. And there was a always awareness of guilt of sin. But when it comes to the power of His blood, you read it there. He did this once for all in verse number 12. Once for all, past, present, and future. He redeemed us. In other words, at the price of the blood of Christ that gets to your conscience, which is the voice of your born-again spirit. When we have that communion with Christ, that's why prayer is so important. Cleanse my conscience, O Lord, by the power of the blood of Christ, as the Bible describes it here. verbatim. So therefore, they had to go back every year. And you know, the high priest, if you study the high priest, I mean, looking at that role that he played, actually, his work was once a year to go into the most holy place. On the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Once a year, he went through the process of making atonement again and again. But this high priest is high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. According to the book of Hebrews, we see it very clearly. This high priest is Christ the Lord, once for all. Then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He now remains there, the Bible tells us, until he has made his enemies his footstool. And so we know that there is power in the blood of Jesus to get where the blood of animals could never reach. That is your conscience. People today are in a mode of committing so much fornication, bribery, corruption, perversion, whatever you want to call it. Sin in abundance. We're living in a sin-infested world. But if I come to God and I give Him my absolute all and I say, my God, I need You now. Wash me in the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. That cleanses my conscience, and I should have no further guilty feelings. If I have repented, if I've turned away from it, and I say, Lord, wash me in the blood of Jesus, it doesn't cover, it digs deep into my soul, into my blood, and it cleanses me altogether. Therefore, He sat down once for all. His own blood is precious blood. His own blood gave you and I the victory. A lot of people struggle with a guilty conscience, but you don't have to struggle with a guilty conscience. So let's take another look at something which I want to get to in the Bible. And that is in Genesis 15 and verse 6, where we have Abraham's covenant. Now, you know, there were things about this covenant, and in this brief momentary moment with you, I want to say here these words, and he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. The word believe here, according to E.W. Kenyon and other sources, we look at that, we look at the pictographic analysis, the Hebrew analysis, the various dictionaries, we take a look at everything. It literally means to make an unqualified surrender and commitment. God spoke and Abraham gave all that he was, all that he is, all that he ever will be over into the hands of God. Later on, he would give a tithing to God. But there would be a test. Would you give what is most precious to you? Have you really given something which is so close to your heart that you waited for 100 years? Namely, your Isaac, your most prized possession. Will you bring him to Mount Moriah and make a burnt offering of him right there on the mountain? You've got to take a knife, you've got to kill him on an altar, and you have got to sacrifice your son that you waited 100 years for. Can you think of what went through the man's mind? But there was something about, because he had that vision. At the time in Genesis 15, if you read the rest of that, I covered that last week. He had that vision. He was obedient, and so much so that God provided the offering. There was a ram on the mountain, and he was Jehovah Jireh or Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And God gave the sacrifice that he could slaughter that instead of Isaac. But when it came to Christ the Lord, God gave him, and he said, no man takes my life, but I will lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back again. Wow. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God, drink His blood, you have, drink his blood, drink his blood. You have no nefesh in you, divine nefesh. Converts the soul. Now, here is something else I want to point out. That Abraham believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him to righteousness. Now, I want to stand on that word because that word is now the key word that I want to look at. And I think reading the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and what you call the Paul's revelations, the Pauline revelations, theologians call it the Pauline revelation. I walked and fasted 8 days to find out what was the thrust, what was really just for this thing. Just said, Lord, what is Paul writing about? What's the core of his revelation? What is this? I fasted 8 days. And in that, one thing popped out, you know, sometimes you take just one single popcorn and put it on the stove or something and it just goes. And that is one word, what you find in that same sentence. And he believed, the Bible says, I read it, he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, we need to therefore know what is righteousness. And what is the righteousness of faith? Because what has worried me for ages, in almost 40 years of really serving God full out, from 1979 to 2018, and I made a vow to God in 1979 and 2018, so it's just 39 years that I have been with God, really been with God. I grew up as a Christian, but then. And what is it then that makes, what is this revelation? What is this thing called righteousness? Now, you know, people just come with a simple definition, say, right standing with God. Okay? Now, I want to quote here from E.W. Kenyon, where he writes these words, established in righteousness. It means... And this I concur, I agree, I bless, I say, definitely my research shows exactly the same. It means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you get crucified with Christ, you live no more. But now you eat the flesh of the Son of God, drink his blood, you become part of the body of Jesus Christ the Lord. His blood represents you. The kingdom of God has one blood, and that's the blood of Christ. And now, because of the blood of the innocent, the spotless Lamb of God, it means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of fear, condemnation, inferiority, or even feeling guilty. So, Isaiah 54:13, and I thought to read it from the Israel Bible. This is a very powerful Bible written by Jews for the Jews, Orthodox Jews, approved by the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, and all the religious community. And here we have Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse 13. Look at this. I will continue with this nuclear atom bomb empowered message tonight. Dear Lord Jesus, it's 9:05. Feel like Josh, I need to pray for the sun to stand still. In righteousness, look at Isaiah 54, verse 13 first. Look at this explosive promise to you and your family. Explosive promise to you and your family. Never come to Bible without the sword of the Spirit, to church without the sword of the Spirit. Don't go on the streets without the sword of the Spirit. Don't go to work without the sword of the Spirit. Is it in your suitcase? Or is it not important enough to carry? Oh, I've got a family Bible. Well, then just get a bigger suitcase. Take a wheelbarrow if you need to. But take it with you. You need it. Look at this. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Direct translation of the Jewish people today. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And I had one amen on that. Amen. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Ach, nee, man. I know that I think the Lions, whoever lost the game or whatever. Let me try that again and see if you're with me. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Amen. Watch now. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Your children shall be taught of the Lord. In righteousness you shall be established. Now this word righteousness, we spoke about it. It literally means shall become steadfast, you become firm. You become steadfast, you become firm. You become prepared for any given situation that's contrary to what is your faith. To establish you, to set you in place, to make you secure, to give you security. Where? In righteousness. To be made firm, to be made prepared, to establish, to make preparations, to provide, to make ready, to be established, to be attached. In righteousness, thou shalt be established. Be thou far from oppression. Far from oppression. You still feel like you're under pressure somewhere. Come on. Far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt not fear. And from ruin, for it will not come near thee. You will not be ruined if you are righteous with God. This word righteous is completely overwhelming. Completely overwhelming. Because it represents the ability. Follow me now. I have to close. Oh, dear Lord. Follow me now. It's the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without any form of inferiority, guilt, condemnation, anything like that. Righteousness. Now, how do I obtain that righteousness? I close with this. And then I go on with this. And I tell you now, I wish South Africa was here to listen to this. Huh. Ay, 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 Lord Jesus. In righteousness, you'll be established. The righteousness which is of fear. And Abraham believed. What did Abraham do in order to set up the platform for believing? He believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. New Testament now. It was imparted to us through Christ the Lord. In New Testament terms, righteousness is imparted to you. Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30, I quote, has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ has been made unto us righteousness. It's an impartation of everlasting guiltlessness. If you have faith, what did Abraham do? He gave his absolutely lock, stock, and barrel, his spirit, his soul, his body. He gave it all over in the hands of God Almighty. And God says, now I can work with you. And then God says, I'll test you with Isaac. And he passed the test. Then God said, now I swear by myself. Blessing, I will bless you. Prospering, I will prosper you. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He gave himself unqualified, complete, absolute, total commitment to God. Here's the problem. There's a sickness called the guilty conscience running around. There's a second sickness running around of saying, well, Lord, you can have that, but don't ask me for a tithing now. Lord, you can have get that, but Sunday, you know what? I'm going to go on a cycle race. Oh, Lord, you can have my everything. God either has you all together or he hasn't got you. And that righteousness of your faith, that is the reason I have this week seen in from every angle. I am like that. I look at it like that. Spotlight from there. I'm telling you now, this is the reason why people's prayers are not being answered. Because they never gave themselves over into the hands of God, lock, stock, and barrel, that God could test them and say, yes. And God could say, yes, now you pray. Now you pray. The prayer of a believer. Now you say, trust, which is faith, in the Lord with all of your heart. I shall trust. In righteousness I shall be. Now the faith, which is the righteousness, which is a faith. I have the spirit of faith. This righteousness is a faith. The moment I am righteous with God, I need to believe first. And in that belief, that's a process, not a single word. It's not just a little thing there, it's just a believe. That means, oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. Bang. 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 You pray for a miracle, you get a miracle. You ask God, God says, I'm right here. Are you ready? Give up, give the Lord a praise. Let's get up and praise him. Oh, man. And I'm still warming up. I haven't started preaching yet. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now. Lord, bring us together in the house of God. Few days before that great day of atonement, Good Friday, when you hung upon a cross, the iniquities of us all laid upon you. You gave your all. It's time for us to give our all. And you can test us if we've given all, whether we've given our all, so that you can bless our all because of the multitude of your tender mercies, of your forgiveness, of your great love, and the blood of Christ that cleansed our consciousness. Thank you, Lord, that our conscience is cleared by the power of the blood. Repentance is part of this, and faith towards God is natural as breathing after that. We thank you, Lord. We've just stepped over into the realm of the miraculous. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.